Kia ora whanau. Lovely to see you here. Hey, I've been taking a bit of a beating the last couple of weeks. There's a game my kids play called Yellow Car Punch. Anyone heard of Yellow Car Punch? Yeah, I see a lot of young hands up there. When you're driving, if a yellow car is seen and claimed, yellow car, the finder of said yellow car gets to punch the other person. My kids, particularly a certain two, who shall remain nameless, are both very good. They're very good at seeking out these less common colourings. And I'm not. What's worse is that Ezra knows where some of these yellow cars live. And so is waiting until we turn certain corners. And a long way in the distance, we'll spot said car. And the rest, well, you can imagine how that goes. They both seek out the less common. They look out for what is sometimes tricky to find. Yellow cars aren't hidden, but there aren't many of them. And so when they are seen, they tend to stand out. And seeking out these surprising yellow cars can be a little bit like how a church family goes about seeking the mind of Christ without the violence. The mind of Christ is what we think the risen Jesus Christ thinks on any given topic. It's what we think God thinks about something. It's what we think the kingdom of God would look like in its fullness. Seeking the mind of Christ can be like seeking yellow cars because, well, it's not easy finding yellow cars, and it's often not easy to know what God thinks on complex topics. And yellow cars are a bit unusual. And often it's the voice saying something unusual that people pick up on and together come to think that this unusual voice is the mind of Christ in our situation. And yellow cars are quite attractive. Well, I think they look really good. And often the mind of Christ leads us in ways that feel light and feel free, drawing us and wooing us, despite sometimes the difficulty of what this might mean. The mind of Christ is what we want to seek when we're making decisions in the life of the church. We're seeking, looking out for, trying to notice what is on God's heart for us. And we do this together. And we do this because it is the risen Jesus Christ who has the authority, for he is the leader, true leader of the church. Oh. From the beginning, people in Baptist churches believed that authority finally lies with the rule of the risen Jesus Christ, who is present in the local congregation. The rule is not shared in the sense of being delegated to other individuals from above. There is no chain of command, no pyramid of power. Christ alone rules, and the task of the local church gathered in covenant community together is to find the mind of Christ. It must find his purpose as it comes together in church meeting. Baptist churches throughout the centuries have practiced this. It's sometimes called the Baptist dynamic of seeking together. And our experiences as individuals and our experiences as a church and our practices of this varies and has varied in our lives. From the poorly done to the not even trying to do this to the positive attempts and also to the really good experiences of living out this vision of seeking together. This vision of the church family seeking and discerning the mind of Christ does not mean that there are no human leaders, of course. Christ does give leaders to the church. And as Baptists, we have always recognized this fact by appointing pastors and elders or leadership board members and ministry leaders And we want and we expect them to lead, right? But one of the ways they lead is by listening, by helping the community listen together to the word of God, Jesus, which is often found in Scripture. So Baptists have this view of authority in the community in which oversight flows to and fro between the personal and the communal, since the responsibility for caring for each other in the church belongs both to all the church and to the leaders, or especially the pastor. It's a little bit like that. So what's the biblical basis then for seeing this ultimate authority as being the presence of the risen Christ in the gathering of the church who have covenanted together to be disciples of Jesus, seeking Christ's mind together? Well, very simply, without much context, but very simply, it's in Matthew 18. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. The context for this verse is that it is the local church who is responsible for working out challenges that arise. And how is this possible? Because the risen Jesus Christ is present as we gather, as we remind ourselves each Sunday, and we can seek his mind together. And for us, this means that we can take courage. Christ is with us. It's his church, not mine or yours or anyone's. And I think it's important we keep in mind that God is at work. God cares. God is present and speaking and leading. And this, of course, doesn't mean that everything that happens is good and of God, but it does mean that when we set our eyes upon Jesus, as we look full in his wonderful face, as we wrestle with what's in the Bible, as we listen deeply to one another, that perspective comes, that yellow cars surface, that we can pay attention to and consider together whether this is the leading of the Spirit of the risen Christ among us. John Tucker, Carey Principal and theologian on church history, Baptist theology and preaching, says that there are four challenges to doing this well. If congregational government is allowed to lapse into congregational management, because management should be delegated. Secondly, if church meetings are turned into formal debates encrusted with complex rules, because this lessens the likelihood of some voices being heard. Thirdly, if congregational discernment is seen as a form of democracy in which the goal is to win a majority vote. The church meeting is not people power in the sense of simply counting votes and canvassing a majority. Because in such a strategy, power blocks can strive with each other to gain a popular vote, with the result that the minority may feel excluded. The aim is to search for consent about the mind of Christ. And so people should be sensitive to the voices behind the votes, listening to them according to the weight of their experience and insight. And we know this, but I want to say this as a reminder that the church is not a democracy. It's a Christocracy. The goal when we gather together is not to win a vote and impose our will, but to listen together for the voice of Christ and seek his will. A fourth challenge to this exists if meetings are modelled on the leadership structures of the corporate world. Now, sure, we can take the good, and there's lots of good. But efficiency and reporting on lots and lots of different numbers and measurements isn't always best. What will help us seek out yellow cars, the mind of Christ, together? Well, John Tucker again, and I think we've got a message from him coming up by video in a few weeks' time. But he then offers 7 points, very quickly, on how we can do this Baptist dynamic of seeking well. How we can do it well. So firstly, separate management and discernment. Shape meetings with worship and scripture. I love how we're meeting after we are worshipping together. It's great. Thirdly, actively promote unheard or marginalized voices. Fourthly, show sensitivity to group dynamics and be willing to experiment. It's that, I guess, that openness and stuff that was referenced before. Make space for open-ended discussion. So flexibility is important. Listen to the wider Christian community and expect disagreement and persevere with hope. And so I'm going to end with hope. Ending with hope. We come with hope. We come humbly, knowing that we don't have all the answers. We come openly, open to hearing the Spirit speak through others. We come patiently, committing ourselves to wait on God and submit to His timeline. We come expectantly, believing that Jesus is with us and will speak through the Bible and His people. So this was a chunk of this was based on a webinar that I did as part of my professional development and for my registration. And so there's a link to the webinar, so I can send that out if anyone would like it, if you want more details on that. So let's pray. God, I'm sure for us all it is a real relief to be reminded again that the church is your idea and that it and we belong to you. We thank you that you are our leader, our guide. We thank you that you are present and caring. We thank you that you listen and that you invite us to listen as well. We humbly ask for your guidance in all matters of our church. Help us to be open. Grace us with patience. And we acknowledge and recognize in our hearts the things we look forward to and the things we long for, the things we're fearful of. But help us to come expectantly into conversations that we will meet with you in some way and be a part of this wonderful family together. Amen.